Okay, I guess we should get started. Over to both of you, Chen and Phil.
Okay. Phil, you have an issue that you brought up regarding the API?
Yeah. So Daniel has worked on the API and has actually improved it according to our discussions at the last session that had the API as the topic. And so we could have just a look on what's going on there.
Yes, I was looking at the API, but how does one tell what has changed?
Yeah, one can actually click on history. I can send a link to the chat.
No, I did click on the history. I just am not clear after you look at the history how you tell where you see the differences.
We were wondering, do you know how to do a diff at GitHub?
I know there's a compare view, but I'm not sure where that compare view is. I could just find it.
So you click on the history, yeah? You are there.
Yeah.
And then you have a lot of commit IDs, which are kind of hexadecimal numbers thing.
Yeah.
See those? And then you click on one of these hexadecimal things, so commit ID.
Oh, there's the diff. Yes.
And there's the diff.
Ah.
Yep.
Now we go.
That's very helpful.
So actually the last diff is just about adding comments, explaining the different items there.
Right.
Not very interesting. So but essentially Daniel has realized this idea that ontologies are not selected by having a lot of different input parameters, but now there is this select ontology list. We have input parameter is just a query. And a query can be a complex thing, and that is fed by an ontology, so only like ontologies. So that what we had discussed last time is now implemented there.
So now the so you have that select ontology list using a query. But there are also a bunch of other select ontologies.
Can we take one step back and frame what we're trying to achieve at this session? Or at least align what we meant by doing alignment.
Yeah, so the general idea is that we want to make progress with the API. Daniel has implemented some changes according to the last discussion, so the main goal is now to have some feedback. Although probably, yeah, the feedback could also be given via email when someone looks in detail at the API. So here I think we should just have a very general rough look at the API. I can also try to explain the rough structure of the API and then discuss whether this is what we want.
Are we at a position, I mean, for OOR as a whole, publish the AEI, sort of socialize it among the community and say, now you have an API developed your thing to work with OOR. Are we at that position now?
No, we first should discuss it internally, whether we agree on something. So, and we have discussed it, and there was a disagreement, there were issues, and so on, and now Daniel has corrected things, and now we can have the next iteration, whether we agree on that. But I think it's not right yet for sending this to other communities or to a larger community.
Yes, but would this be sort of the last step before, if we call that publish or publication, is this our last step, internal last step before publication?
Yeah, hopefully we now have the last step before publication, yeah. But of course it depends on the issues that we still have with the thing.
That's good. I guess. Please. Both of you.
How are we dealing with the keeper, gatekeeping?
Oh yeah, that's something that is missing. I have actually introduced this as a to-do at the very top, that we should also include the gatekeeper API. And maybe that Daniel...
Correct.
Yeah, it's a pity that Daniel's not here. Maybe Daniel didn't know how to do this exactly. So if you know how to do such an import, then feel free to edit the interface.
Well, it would be another module.
Yeah, the gatekeeper module is already there. It's also in the same repository. It's another IDL file, but this IDL file should be imported here somehow.
Should be imported, yeah. Do we just import it, or if there are, of course, things that would be shared? You have a series of structs and type depths that I presume would be quite relevant for gatekeeping.
Do you know how imports work in IDL? It's just a kind of verbatim copying of the text.
Yeah, but it would be in a different module.
Okay, and then we could reference that module from our module here.
You need to give the appropriate references and so that they're consistent in the way they deal with all of the things like IRIs and languages and such. Although I don't know to what extent, is there an issue with that? The gatekeeper registers items. I guess that's the main overlap, is this notion of item. What is the corresponding notion in the ontology IDL?
Yeah, it would be a repository, I think. We have discussed it earlier. So the authorization and authentication should not be for a single ontology, but for whole repositories. An item is basically the object that can be accessed. Is that right? So in the gatekeeper API, the item is the thing being accessed.
So what is the item? Which struct is the item?
I would say repository.
Repository content? Is that what you see? What's different to here?
No.
There's a repository fractal.
Repository. No, not in the repository fractal, but repository.
Okay.
So repository is more abstract than repository fractal or content. Repository is something like colore.or.net. That's the repository. And someone can have access to Colore or not. And then Colore can have different versions, and each version has some content and some fractal and so on. But that's all depending on the identity of the repository, and the repository would be Colora. And that would be the item and gatekeeper that then has some correspondence to users that can access it, have different access rights, and so on.
Okay, so what we need to do is have a way of, we need to change the gatekeeper IDL to replace occurrences of item with repository.
Yeah, so probably there's no renaming possibility, so we just do a
just change
and restate in the gatekeeper IDL.
We should just change that item to repository.
Okay. Yeah, and then we can just import it. Then it's easier.
Then I should.
Yeah. Could one of you document that on the chat, please?
Okay.
May I backtrack and ask one question? Are we on the gatekeeper? Are we doing like authentication? Access control type of things through gatekeeper, or are we using the BioPortal interface tier? So by BioPortal interface tier, I'll put a link. I'll just place a link out there.
Where is this? Authentication, you're referring to authentication, Peter?
Yes.
Okay, authentication is just being sure that you are who you say you are.
Yes.
That isn't anything, the gatekeeper is not concerned with that. Gatekeeper is concerned with the roles and responsibilities of an individual.
Roles. So access control is not controlled by gatekeeper.
No, gatekeeper has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
It's assumed that there is some kind of access control mechanism.
Could you post that answer to the chat? That's my question. So I remember earlier you mentioned that gatekeeper will also do workflow control and so on. Is this still true?
Yes.
Would
that's
this,
right.
So this should include things like parsing and some other kinds of manipulations on the ontology, extracting metadata, things like that. No, is that kind of all encompassed under workflow?
Right, that's the idea, that asynchronous operations and notifications. So the individuals who are responsible are the ones who will be notified. So you have a community, for example, who are developing an ontology. Somebody makes an update to it. It's then checked, and then asynchronously everybody in the community is notified. So that would be an example of this kind of workflow.
But at this stage, we're just everything's kind of just encompassed under workflow, and the details will be determining later.
The way we set it up was to use the there is a workflow notion already, business process. There's a business process workflow notion.
No, what I mean is we're not deciding now what tasks are going to be implemented in that kind of like, you know, parsing would be a basic one, but you know, there could be others, but we're not just talking about that now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We're just having a framework where we could put a workflow in.
Right.
What the workflow might be, that's a completely different issue.
Right.
So I have one issue to discuss about the gatekeeper, this notion of authority there. So you write there in the comments that an authority is a community that oversees artifacts developed by its members. So that means that there is some kind of grouping there. At least you say all members of a certain department have the right to access a certain resource. Is this correct?
Yeah, it's a it's modeled after standards bodies, for example, that will have this kind of hierarchy of standards committees and authorities.
Yeah, because in OntoHub so far we have users and we have teams. So teams are basically groups of users, and both users and teams can have access rights. So it seems that teams in OntoHub correspond to authority in the gatekeeper API. Is this correct?
That's correct. That would be a team. Team would be an
authority. Okay, and then we have the OMV ontology. There we have party, person, and organization. And party is a common superclass of both person and organization. And an organization can have persons as members. So there also seems to be some correspondence that person is user and organization is authority, but party also seems to be authority, but in a different sense. I'm not sure whether authority would be more organization or more party.
The OMV notion of organization doesn't include a hierarchy.
You have teams of teams and so on.
Yeah, these kinds of hierarchical organizations are very common. And just it's interesting having a superclass to take care of users and organizations. Not sure why. Where would you use that?
The access to items is ultimately held by a party. So I'm not sure how this works in the gatekeeper, but you have the responsibilities there, but that's basically only the relation between users and authorities, right? That's not the relation to items. So if I want to access some item, so then like request item or download item or update item. So for example, update item that has two input parameters, the item and the responsibility. And that's not clear to me. Why do you need a responsibility?
Oh, responsibilities are roles played by users in a community, in an organization. And a given individual can have several responsibilities. What those roles are and responsibilities are determined by the workflow. So they're really, you have to define a workflow for those to have meaning.
So you can
but I noticed
say, a member or an admin, for example.
But I noticed that there is no connection at the moment between items and authority, and perhaps there should be, because an authority should, I guess authorities are the owners of items, right?
Are the owners, you say?
Yeah, I notice I don't have any connection between authority and item, or any, in fact,
yeah,
between user and item.
Yeah, exactly, and there would be the place where this kind of OMV notion of party comes in, which is the common superclass of authority and user, and such a party can then have access rights to an item. And in AutoHub, we have the editor. So we have basically three different roles. One can have just view rights, so you can just view things, you can edit things, and you can own a thing. And if you own it, then you can basically give rights to anyone else. If you just can edit it, then you can just modify the contents, but not modify the rights. So that's a very simple model that we have used for AutoHub. But this is not reflected here, so there's only this arbitrary thing role. But maybe we could be more specific with this different roles like view, edit, and own.
I think it would be good to start with that, but to allow one to extend it.
Sure.
I mean, a typical role that you see in organizations is that, you know, someone might want to be notified. So this is a more active thing. Whenever a change is made, you want to be notified. Or another one is you may be responsible for reviewing. One of these. So I wouldn't want to change what you just said, but I think it would be okay if we should have some mechanism for extending these roles.
But how different are these from just an arbitrary software sort of, you know, project repository? I mean, what's kind of unique about ontologies that is making this different?
I'm not sure that there is anything different. It was based on 111.79,
mm-hmm,
which isn't for ontology.
So I implicitly then we're saying that there's no existing, say, software repository that has the gatekeeping functionality that we're looking for. In which case, there is something a bit unique about ontologies. Otherwise, there'd already be this environment that we could just use.
I'm not aware of any implementation of that.
Really?
But I mean, it certainly could exist. When we investigated this, it was a number of years ago. So I don't know what might have happened in the meantime. But the assumption is that you're going to have a kind of gate, like the roles that Phil just mentioned would be the default, and that the workflows would also be very simple workflows, and that you'd only change it if you had a more complex structure where you had other roles and you had other workflows. So basically, I suggested we just take the current workflow that AutoHub has and just use that, but with the option to extend it if necessary.
Yeah, the problem is that AutoHub, the AutoHub workflow does not quite match with what is here in the gatekeeper. Because here it seems that if you want to access some item, you have to provide a responsibility, and the responsibility is basically a role that some user has in some authority. Whereas in, so that could, this role could be, you could be a member of this authority, or you could be chair or admin or whatever. Whereas in OntoHub we have roles that are relations between parties, where party is the union of user and authority, and items. So a party could be owner of an item, or editor, or just viewer of an item. And I'm not sure whether this is the same. It seems more orthogonal to these other rules, like member role, or admin role, or chair role.
I think we can reconcile these two. You could think of an authority as just being a grouping of items, and it probably should be specified that way. So an authority is responsible for these items, and then individuals within, you know, who play a role within the authority have the same rights and responsibilities for all of the items in the authority. So we would just get your case by just making every item an authority.
Yeah, that's okay. Every item, yeah, but that's a bit artificial, I think. And then still, it's not clear. Then each user would have a role in the authority. The user could own the authority, or could be just editor of the authority, right?
Well, my question is whether we should, would it make sense to drop the notion of authority and just say that it's just the repository?
No, I think you need that. So I like that you have authorities, or in OntoHub these are teams, and in OMV these are organizations. I think you need something like that. And you need users. But I would say you need also some relation between the union of authority and user, which could be party as in OMV, and the items. And you need some roles there as well, like editor and owner. And that's different from the roles that the user can have within an authority. Because an authority as a whole could basically own a repository, for example. That means that each user in the authority is basically has the owner rights there.
Okay, so what do we need to do to fix this so it matches what you're doing?
First of all, could someone document one things that are already clarified in two things that remains a question or needs to be deliberated upon? Please. May I raise one use case which I've always used as sort of a driver for getting gatekeeper in place? Is that we have been running OR as a sandbox and not as production. Because, for example, there's no policy module or workflow module in play in OR. So we cannot say, for example, anyone who uploads an ontology has to submit metadata, or at least these 5 items out of the 25 items of metadata that needs to be furnished, or at least we need at least these 5 before you could even upload. I mean, we don't have that mechanism. While this is not very much different from any other repository, as Michael was asking, at least we don't even have this, I don't think. That's one of the reasons why we never even have OR as a production repository. So now what is everything goes. So how far are we from it? Do we have the policy modules or the workflow modules in place that we could, let's say, set up policies and rules within it? So which is sort of separate from sort of the modules?
Okay.
Sorry, Peter, are you speaking about the sandbox? Is the BioPortal instance for OR, or what exactly do you speak of?
Let's call it the enhanced BioPortal instance.
What do you mean by enhanced?
These are some of the enhancements, like BioPortal does not have workflow control, BioPortal does not have certain policies that restrict or constrain how a policy
There is something of this running, yeah, with this enhancement.
No, we only have been talking about it. Talking about building something to implementing something to make that happen.
Okay.
Essentially, I mean, all those things sort of are focused in gatekeeper.
Okay.
If I understand from the original.
Yeah.
So we try to focus everything into gatekeeper, and gatekeeper will be that piece of software that we need to make that enhancement.
Right. There was a prototype for gatekeeper, but I mean it. It was never integrated with BioPortal, and I'm not sure that it could be. It was just really very different. It was just a prototype.
Yeah, I think we can go past the prototype and really ask ourselves what needs to be done and how can we get it done.
Yeah, I discussed this at some length with Max about Max developed the prototype for Gatekeeper. And so far, I mean, I really haven't gotten any good response. I think he just doesn't find that it's that easy to do any kind of integration with BioPortal. So if we're going to have a Gatekeeper for BioPortal, we really have to start from scratch. How is this handled in OntoHub?
Yeah, in OntoHub we basically have this Rails code. It's written in Ruby on Rails, and we have certain database tables like users and teams. Teams would be authorities here. And then basically kind of join table for the access rights, which would be the thing that is missing here in the gatekeeper, the kind of relation between users, union authorities on the one hand side, and items on the other hand side, and some roles between them. And then we have our own code implementing this logic, but we use some standard Ruby on Rails gems for access control.
A question, are those things mostly hard-coded, or are they a module that allows, let's say, rules and policies to be entered?
I think currently it's hard-coded, but it should not be that difficult to have rules and policies there. So it's a very simple model that we currently have, so we don't have to spend much thought on this.
When does it get enforced? How do you enforce these policies?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're in the middle of a very big change. because currently we have a database where ontologies are stored, and then there is a Ruby on Rails gem which basically can handle all and permission rights. I think it's called CanCan or something like this. That means that is a module where you can define on an individual method basis who can, you can define code that just defines who can do which, who can call which method, basically. That's handled by this CanCan gem in Ruby on Rails. And then there is a so-called model called AbilityRB, where you define basically your policies. So it's kind of one central point, one central module, where you have all the policies, which is good because it's a certain abstraction. But then the policies are just defined as Ruby code. So that's simple-minded. But if we want to have more complex policies, we could replace this single module by something else. And the change will...
But it gets enforced when a method is invoked. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. So that means if you, a method is basically, so each URL that you enter in your browser in order to do something with OntoHub leads by this model view controller paradigm that leads to a controller action. And basically the method in the controller is, or the action in the controller can be derived from the URL somehow. And then you can have rights for certain controller actions. That is, if you don't have the rights for the controller action, then moving it is denied.
Okay.
And since controller actions are the only way to communicate with OntoHub in a sense, that suffices.
That's good, but it's a it's just on a method invocation basis rather than full workflow. Although I think we might be able to enhance it so you do get a workflow. What that means is you have this module that is invoked every time you perform a method. That module could in turn have other behavior than just checking that the method is allowed.
That's true. It could also depend on some given workflow. We could do more complex things there. That's true. But we haven't not taken care of workflows yet. Yeah. But the big change that is currently happening is that we replace this model that every ontology is stored in the database by these Git repositories, so that ontologies are stored in Git repositories. Or also Subversion if you want, because we have the Git Subversion interface already there. And this means that the access rights are now different because they are also access rights for Git repositories. And Git repositories, of course, can be used completely independently of OntoHub. You can just push something to them or pull or clone or whatever. And so we need to implement these rights also in a Git server that governs the access to Git repositories.
Yeah, this was the reason why I mentioned asked earlier, like the differences between like what we're doing with ontology repositories and arbitrary software repositories. Because with Calore, when we use Subversion, and we let Subversion handle a lot of the access control. Etc. And we've kind of always envisioned the workflows as maybe Ken was saying, kind of something that's done offline on a kind of a local copy of the repository that would kind of go through and do the parsing maybe some consistency checking and metadata extraction and things like that. But we were always relying on something like Subversion or as Phil was mentioning, maybe GitHub as doing all this other sort of control access and gatekeeping.
Yeah, but Subversion has a very simple-minded model, I think. You can, it's not entirely fixed. So you can also, sometimes Apache does this for Subversion. So you basically, you have users and then you can group users into lists. I think that's what I have seen.
Right.
For Subversion. There's no, not, yeah, lists could be authorities in a sense, but no hierarchical authorities. And, with GitHub, you have also individuals and organizations. But GitHub is, in a sense, proprietary, so you don't have access to the rules and access structures of GitHub. So and we wanted to have some open source thing there, so we cannot just rely on GitHub there.
What about the core version?
I'm surprised GitHub open source.
No, GitHub is closed source. GitHub is basically... Yeah, it's fascinating. It's very fast growing. They have done a really good job, but it's free for open source repositories. You have to pay if you host closed source software, and the code itself it's also a web system, and the code for all that is closed source. So, and that means also the code for authentication. And all this grouping, you have individuals there and you have organizations, and individuals can have different roles in organizations and so on. You can all administer this all through the GitHub website, but that's all closed source. So we could take it as a role model if we want and implement a similar thing, but we definitely want to implement something or use some open source software. And our current strategy and onto hub is basically to take this quite simple minded users and team model that we have. Of course, we could enhance this with whatever comes out today or here in this discussion. And then implement a Git server that actually governs the access to Git repositories hosted by onto hub according to the rules that we want. Because the Git software is not about access rights, so you have to put something on top of that. Usually it's some kind of SSH access where you put your SSH key somewhere and so on, so it's on a user-by-user basis, very simple-minded. But you can also implement some more complex scheme with users and groups or authorities or even some policies and so on. So, but you have to do this yourself. And maybe we can reuse existing stuff there. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on all these things there. It's just a necessity that we have to do all this stuff. So if there is something that we can use out of the box, it would be great.
Right. The vision we always had, as Mike explained, was that the things like access rights are actually handled by repository software that already exists, and we certainly are not going to be re-implementing that. But the more interesting things that this doesn't provide are the more asynchronous operations. And in fact, if you look at the gatekeeper, most of these methods are actually just one way, because the intention is that it would happen asynchronously and then the results would be sent to the individuals with the appropriate, appropriate responsibilities. And it also includes a mechanism for updating the responsibilities and workflows so that the workflow definitely would not be hard-coded, and one could change the workflow at any time. So you see the idea? So, and notice these are one.
Yeah. I just noticed it. Yeah, I'm not sure what this means, but that means, so for example, we press responsibility. So that basically request that you are granted access. You give your credentials there. No, you get you already. Could you provide an example of what happens, or maybe it's good to see the prototype in order to gain a more detailed
understanding. Yeah, the idea is suppose. If you look at, say, a typical example like Oasis, the responsibilities that they will have within a PC are you're either a voting member or a chair or a persistent non-voting member or just an observer. So they have something like half a dozen different roles an individual can play within a PC. And the workflows involve things like, who gets notified of changes that are made, and who has the right to make changes.
If you have responsibility, then you say, the responsibility says, for example, Michael is registrar of Colora. That would be the responsibility?
Yeah.
And then you have an authority. The authority could be the admin of Colora or whatever that has the right to change this or to grant this responsibility, yeah?
Yeah, so the workflow would be, I would like to be a registrar, which is essentially a chair of a team. And then the accreditation authority, that's basically the sysadmin, would be asked if this is okay, and the sysadmin would say, yeah, that's fine. And then the person will be notified that, yes, you have this authority. You have this responsibility, sorry. Responsibility.
Yeah, responsibility is about registering responsibility. So you don't have the responsibility, but you newly get it. And then basically what has to be checked is whether the person or the authority trying to register this new responsibility has the right to do so.
So I'm sorry, I have to drop off now. I double-booked myself.
You see the idea is that it's actually individual to grant these things. And so you have to have an asynchronous process to ask them if it's okay.
Okay, so since Michael drops off, so let's go to the meta level a bit. So we have discussed a bit the Gatekeeper API. I still have not full understanding of it, I think. Maybe we can also discuss it I could actually invite more onto hub people, mainly those actually dealing with those things, and I think it would also be good to have this prototype in order to
I think you did ask for it, and I've been trying to update it and fix it, but unfortunately it's really hard to get these things fixed up. I'll give it to you in the current state.
Okay.
Which isn't so good.
Or maybe some paper where you describe what's going on there.
I can get that to you. I was just a little bit too ambitious trying to actually get it to a form where we could integrate it. Unfortunately, that doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I'll get it to you.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
So are we sort of looking at the new and improved implementation of the gatekeeper codes then? Sometime soon?
Yeah, that's the idea. Hopefully we can negotiate this and see if we can come up with a way of fixing it so it would actually be possible to integrate it into the onto Hub.
Yeah, could you document that on the chat? Because this would be a key decision.
And I think we should also look for similar things out there, or also implemented software where that provides this functionality, open source software, I would mean, in order to get integration there, and maybe even that we are able to reuse some existing thing, and then we could just take this software and try to write an API around it, basically.
It seems we are running a range of repositories that are implemented with different technologies, having this independent module with the API would totally make sense if people running GitHub as the core or subversion or bioportal as the core repository technology interact with this.
All right. So let's put it into the chat.
Yeah, good. Can we document the new task of the implementation of the enhanced gatekeeper?
What would that? I don't follow. What would it be?
No, I mean I thought that's sort of the conclusion of the discussion earlier, and with that then we can start tracking.
Well,
when is it coming out? How does it integrate with everybody else? Anything else?
So I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to be documenting here.
I guess maybe your next step as far as gatekeeper is concerned.
So I would suggest to actually look for some implemented software that provides similar functionality and, yeah, preferably written in Ruby or Rails, but it's not in ultimate condition. And then try to organize the API around that so that we have some running implementation and then abstract an API from it and then say, okay, we want to add this and change that, but we have better functionality, but that we don't reinvent the wheel and base this on some running implementation.
I agree.
Yeah, actually the gatekeeper was based on existing software. It was, if you look at the paper, basically all that happened was to take existing business process software and specialize it to the case of the needs of the OOR. So it was already just the existing software.
Okay, then I should have a look at this paper.
I mean, we didn't really add that much software to it. Unfortunately, I don't. We couldn't find a way to integrate it into the OR because that or with AntoHub because it used Ruby on Rails, and we couldn't see an easy way to reconcile or to integrate that with what we did.
So what is this software written in?
That's a good question. I'll have to look at it. I think it's in Java, but that's just a guess right now.
Okay.
I'll get that to you, don't worry. And then we can further discuss it offline, all right?
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
So I guess we're finished with the meeting today, or is there additional issues?
Yeah, I think we're finished.
So what's the next meeting for second part?
Once Phil and I work this out, then we can think about moving on to the next step.
Yeah, the next slot is the 15th. So would that be a good time? Because next week we have the common UI, and then we have no meeting on the 24th. October 1 is the regular OR team meeting. October 8th is the meta ontology for categories. And so the next hackathon slot, if we want, we could place it on October 15th. Would that be a good time to put it?
Is that okay with you, Phil?
I'm not sure yet. I'm probably moving to Magdeburg in this week. And I have no idea what the lecture plan there is, but yeah. I hope I will do my best to be there.
Yeah, but if you are moving, then maybe not. We'll think of something else. Then the week after that, October 22nd, that will be Eastwick. A lot of people may not be able to during that week.
No, I think October 15 could be okay. So the thing is as follows: either I have a lecture on Tuesday at the present time, and then I have a problem for all Tuesdays, or I don't, and then it's not a problem on October 15 either.
Yeah, and even if you do, I'm sure the team probably would be amenable to changing the meeting time.
Okay,
so let's mark this October 15th as a hackathon, that would be number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be the two key things? Gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully then we can actually have something. Okay. So that's okay then. That's better that we make that debate.
Okay.
So that's it?
Uh-huh.
So thanks, Phil. Thanks, everyone.
Moment. I would like to ask for the person who was going to contact me about the interface evaluation for next week.
That would be two. No. That would be Ken.
Ken, exactly, Ken. I don't have Ken's email. So if someone could send me Okay, Ken, so you're writing, I would like to enter in contact with you and to discuss about which sites and which pages and we blog. So thank you.
Daniel, as a matter of reference, usually people who are in the community, if you go to the wiki pages and click on their names, you usually find who they are, and I would say 90% of the time their email addresses are available there.
Okay, great.
Very rare occasion will you not be able to find the content.
Okay, thank you. And
And keep this secret with Magdeburg still, please.
Okay.
Okay, so anyone else? Is there any other business? I'm not hearing any other business. I believe we stand adjourned.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.